105.7 The Fan and the Baltimore Orioles present the Hot Stove Show.
Play ball!
This is the Hot Stove Show on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan. Now, live from Orioles Spring Training in Florida, here's Jim Hunter on the flagship station of the Baltimore Orioles, 105.7 The Fan.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome in. It is Hot Stove Baseball, Jim and Rock, at the palatial estate of Tiny Tim Jones. It is a team day off today. We were locked out, literally locked out, of the Ed Smith Complex, so Tim was nice enough to set up a studio here so we could go on the air and talk some baseball. Yeah, what a nice guy.
I was waiting for the valet to park my car, but nobody came out. Yeah, they did lock us out of the complex, but I got to be honest with you, nobody was trying to get in the complex. We kind of welcomed having a day where there was no alarm set. I had to remind myself I forgot to put the Do Not Disturb sign up for housekeeping because I've been gone so early that hasn't been an issue. It was nice to have a little bit of a change here. We have a night game tomorrow in Fort Myers. That's a second opportunity to sleep later. But, Jim, you know how it works. When you get up, and for me especially, that same time every day between the 5 and 6 years.
You wake up.
Of course. I'm wide awake at 6. I'm like, come on, you can sleep in. And I think I made it till about 7:30, and I gave up and finally got up.
Well, I was actually disappointed you only posted one blog today. You know, I'm so accustomed to going four times a day to get updates when I'm not at the ballpark. And there was the one story, and it was the only story.
I feel like a slacker. I think I've topped that at 10 blog entries a couple days in a row. So I really did feel good. I'm thinking, should I post something else around 2 or 3? I'm like, no, unless there's news. Let it go. Get back into it tomorrow.
I wasn't sure because Bonnie came in today, so I had to go get her. Did you post any non-baseball tweets so at least your legions of fans would know what you're doing on your day off?
No, and I don't want them to know what I'm doing.
All right, then. Let's move on. All right. You know, one of the things in this camp that is intriguing, and Mike Bordick and I were talking about it yesterday on our Masson telecast, the remaining spots that are open in the bullpen. We know, unless there's an injury, we know the rotation is going to be the rotation. They had the five, and they're still the five. And by the way, the starters in this camp in the 13 games combined 3.0 ERA. They really are pitching very well. So you're looking at basically two long men in the bullpen. Now, Buck wants to have a left-hander out there because there's four righties in the rotation. He likes the opposite arm. So the way I'm looking at it, and tell me if you agree or not, Vidal Nuno, who isn't here, he's away with Team Mexico in the WBC, and Jason Aquino seem to be the two candidates, and really only two candidates for that spot, because they both can pitch multiple innings. Now, from the other side, the right-handed long man, I think it comes down, again, unless somebody emerges, to either Mike Wright, who's having a great camp. He was outstanding in his last start, especially with the 7 ground balls he induced. Would have been 7 outs except for one throwing error by Ryan Flaherty. So Mike Wright is pitching well. Apparently, he had a conversation with Scott McGregor about moving along and moving quickly and getting the ball and getting a sign and throwing instead of thinking too much. Tyler Wilson has had a great camp except for one bad inning yesterday when he allowed 4 runs in the one inning. And then there's Gabriel Ynoa, who has starting experience and is a possibility if Buck Showalter wants to go that way, although Ynoa likely will be in the starting rotation at AAA. So let's start with the left-handers first. How do you see that, the left-handed long man in the battle with Vidal Nuno, who's not here, and Jason Aquino, who's not only here, he's pitching very well, and, oh, by the way, they're noticing.
Right. I mean, with Nuno, I think as soon as they acquired him, the assumption was that's your third left-hander. And then, of course, T.J. McFarland being let go, and now he's with Arizona, so that eliminated that possibility. And they want optionable guys, and we keep hearing this, and they've done a great job of becoming more flexible in the bullpen. So I still think Nuno's a favorite, only because, and this will work with Mike Wright as well, as with Aquino, unless something changes, and it's still relatively early, it just seems like there are certain guys that they're saying, okay, this guy we'd rather have him be a starter. If he's not in our rotation, we want him in a rotation in the minors. And I think, you know, Buck has mentioned Aquino a couple times and said, you know, he's going to be starting somewhere, and he's going to be a good depth piece for us in the rotation, which tells me that right now, at least, they would prefer having him in a AAA rotation as opposed to having him as a long man in the bullpen. Again, that could change later. And the same on the right-hand side with Mike Wright. I remember earlier Buck says, we still look at him as a starter, even though there are people that project him eventually to become more of a late-inning power arm. But we look at him as a starter. Well, if that's the case, you probably want him starting in AAA because he's not going to be in the Orioles rotation unless there's an injury. Now, all this could change, but that's what tells me right now that, okay, Nuno is more that wing guy, whatever, from the left side. And Aquino's a guy who, by the way, the fact he's even on the radar, let alone has been this impressive, is shocking to me. We talked about this before. Nobody, when we reported to camp, was thinking, I wonder if Jason Aquino, like, what, we weren't even thinking. He was a bubble guy on the 40, and now all of a sudden it's like, thank goodness we kept him, because he was in danger of coming off the 40 a few times. And now he's been really impressive. Buck said he was a highlight of camp at one point. I just think they would right now, for now, rather have him starting in AAA. So I think Nuno is probably the favorite right now.
Yeah, and Nuno has experience doing it, so right. He has that going for him. He is 29. He's a veteran. And Aquino, by the way, in three appearances, seven innings, he's allowed one run on a wind-blown home run. That's the only blemish on what he has done. Okay, let's go for the right-hander. Now, Tyler Wilson, up until the final inning yesterday, he was trying to get through three innings in relief, and he lost command and gave up some runs. But he's pitched very well. Mike Wright, again, on the radar, but there's that scenario you just described. Is he a starter or is he a long man, and where does the future of his career go? And then there's Gabriel Ulloa, who may be in the same position that Aquino's in. Do you want him sitting around in the bullpen, or do you want him in AAA starting in case you need him?
Right, and I liked a lot better when he was Ulloa. Yeah, now he's Ulloa. We're told it's actually Ulloa, and we apologize for mispronouncing his name this whole time. Also, Logan Verrett,
he's pitched well.
Is still here.
And I neglected to mention
that. Yeah, that when they first got him back from Mets, we thought, okay, he's a new Vance Worley. But, of course, now, again, a credit to Dan Duquette building up this depth in the bullpen, there are some other options. But he's a guy you got to consider, so I think they just kind of let it play out. We're going to assume whoever it is got to be a potential long man, swing man type. I thought Logan Andrusek at one point was a guy who could get a spot, but he's really not a multiple inning long type guy,
right.
And he's been hurt twice now, so I think he's kind of out of any kind of competition. Again, still relatively early, but you know, he rolled his ankle in fielding drills, and now he's got the elbow soreness after the game in Lakeland on Monday when he gave the 2-run homer, and they sent him today for an MRA, which caused some confusion. I think it's an MRI arthrogram, which is like an MRI except they inject dye in to see if there's any kind of structural damage. Yes. And I think James Andrews was involved in this, and anytime he gets involved in anything and he recommended this procedure, probably bad news. I think they found out today. We'll find out tomorrow, most likely, what's going on with him. But he's probably going to be out of the competition. He's only made two appearances here, and he's hurt. So, you know, I think you know they probably want him as one of these starters in AAA at this point. So I really think it could end up being Mike Wright. Let's see how he does the rest of the camp. But I know that they really look at him still as a starter, but maybe if he's just dominating at this point, like, you know what, we may as well just keep him. We can always put him back in rotation later. But I would think Wilson and Verrett are two of the guys right now that there would be seriously considering. And it's just good to have all these options. I mean, it's good to have this many guys. And that AAA rotation, Buck said they may go with a six-man rotation.
Yeah.
Because let's say that it's Wright and Wilson there. And, you know, Ed, you've got, and Aquino is going to start them most likely. And there are a couple other guys. I mean, it's really impressive that they've got that kind of starting depth now. And they may actually have to go to a six-man rotation in Norfolk. And I'm sure Ron Johnson would be thrilled with that.
All right, well, we know, or we believe, because you never know, but the five locks for the bullpen, of course, are Zach Britton, Darren O'Day, Brad Brock, Michael Givens, and Donnie Hart. Let's hear from Donnie now. I sat down with him yesterday morning, and he eventually got into the game yesterday and earned the save. Now, Donnie, last year, made his debut on July 17th. A week later, was sent back to AA. Then he came back for good on August 12th, and I asked Donnie, what is this camp like for him now that he has a reference point and he knows what it takes to succeed in the majors?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's my first one, really, on the big league side of it. I backed up a little bit last year, and I can remember walking over here and like kind of being in awe almost of how things were ran and how it was done over here. And then, you know, being in the big leagues last year and then being in some pretty big situations and then kind of coming here, it's interesting because, you know, you get your work done, but there's a different intensity to it than there is on the other side. On the other side, it's, you know, there's a lot of guys, you know, just kind of want to make sure everything gets ran right. But over here, there's a level of intensity that's involved in it and expected of you. So it's fun. It's definitely fun, but you know, I think pitching in the big leagues last year kind of helped make this a little easier. I think if I didn't have any big league experience and I came over here, it would be a lot different.
Now, everything over here, in particular for the pitchers, is slotted. So you have a schedule that you know when you're going to pitch, when you're going to do your side, when you could do your weights. I would guess that makes it a bit easier because all you have to do is go do what you're told.
Yeah, that's helpful, especially this time of year. you know, you don't want to have any surprises for anybody right now. You know, it's not really fair to do to people. So it makes it easy. I know I have, for right now, I have 2 days off between outings. So that makes it easy. I can throw and then recover that night and then come in and, you know, work out pretty heavily and then have a day off in between the, you know, the next day and then the day I'm going to throw again. So, makes it easier. But in the same breath, as a reliever, you don't really enjoy knowing when you're going to throw. Because, you know, we kind of like the spur of the moment kind of deals. That's kind of what we thrive off of. So, you know, it's a delicate balance. Normally, I told Roger, don't, you know, tell me the day before. If that's the latest you can give it to me, then give it to me then. So, but for right now, I've had 2 days off, so it's been kind of nice for right now. Hopefully, you know, with, I think, 20-something days left in camp, you know, closer to then, I'll have a couple back-to-back days so that way, you know, I can get the body used to that.
Last year, you came up for the first time and quickly went right back down the buoy. But then when you came back, you stayed and you became a valuable part, left-handed arm, in that bullpen. As you walked into this camp this year as a major leaguer and as part of the best bullpen in baseball, do you feel like you belong and it's your spot, or are you approaching the camp, I still have to go out and prove it?
Yeah, no, I don't. It's a fine line because, you know, everybody wants to include you in it and that kind of deal. But, you know, nothing's really guaranteed in this game. Even from the standpoint, if you have a guaranteed contract, you know, there's so many things can happen and so on and so forth. So, you know, the way I look at it as is I gotta earn that spot. I gotta earn his trust again. And so when I go out there, I'm, you know, my focus is on getting three outs and getting them before they score a run kind of deal. So right now, you know, the last two outings, I've been really focusing on fastball command in the bottom of the zone and sinking the ball a little better. And so then as we go on, I'll work on some other things. But you walk a fine line doing that, you know. So, you know, certainly don't think, in my mind, I don't think I have that spot. You know, whether that be the case or not, I don't know. But, you know, I'm going to go out there and try to earn it.
So you don't have the benefit of simply working on your stuff and maybe, hey, I'm going to work on my changeup today regardless of the results. You have to go out there and still produce because in your mind, that's what they're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't ever want to give someone that's making decisions like a second thought on what you're trying to do. I think he has enough trust in me and what I've done and what I've shown. But, You know, I don't want to have a guy sit back and second guess really what you're doing. So, you know, I get my work in between outings. That's where I'll get, you know, work on stuff that, you know, I want to work on and see if I can use during the season. But for right now, those are pretty much game outings for me right now.
All right, you have a new pitching coach in Roger McDowell, who's been a longtime pitching coach in the big leagues and a very successful reliever in his day. And your new bullpen coach just happens to be your former pitching coach at Bowie, Alan Mills. Now, to me, that's got to be a bonus because I don't think there's anybody in the organization probably that knows you better than him.
Yeah, that's definitely fun. It makes it easy. It makes it easier on Roger, too, because, you know, Millsy knows a lot of us. Having Millsy in there is it's a blast. You know, there's times where I'll come in the dugout after an outing and I'll be like, you know, want to know what he saw, and he'll just kind of stare at me and smile, and I kind of know exactly what he's talking about kind of deal. So it's one of those things where it can kind of go unspoken, what he sees and what I see. And then with Roger, you know, I'm sure he's talking to him during the outings and stuff like that about certain guys. And, you know, I know Millsy, you know, really, really well, and he knows my ins and outs. So, you know, Roger doesn't really have to do a whole lot of, you know, talking to me about what went on during the outing and all that kind of stuff. You know, he'll ask me a few questions and what I saw, and then he'll tell me what he saw. But from the standpoint of having Mills in there and Mills talking to him and communicating with him, that I'm sure that's making it a whole lot easier on him. And you can kind of tell because, you know, for right now, he doesn't have a whole lot to push on us. He's trying to learn us, and we're trying to learn him. And, you know, as the days have gone on, I've noticed the guy pretty much is looking to make anybody laugh when he comes around the corners, which is awesome because Mills is the same way.
Right.
And so, you know, I think those two are going to have a lot of fun together. And, I, you know, for right now, we've thoroughly enjoyed them both.
One of the things that's unique about spring training is Allen will be the bullpen coach. He'll be with you in the bullpen. But in the spring games, he's on the bench and he charts every pitch. And I got to believe that hands-on, I mean, being with that view right from the dugout, that's got to be a help to you too, because he could probably pick up things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing with Millsy is he tries not to dabble into too much of the mechanics of it all, because he knows there's a lot going on from the minute we lift our leg to the minute the ball leaves our hand. And we don't control anything after that. So it happens so quick. So he's more about the mental side of, like, setting up pitches and pitch sequences and all that kind of stuff. And even if you don't execute pitches, you still can use that pitch that you didn't execute to execute the next pitch. And so that's what he's really more about. So, for the mechanics side of it, he never really talks to me too much about that. So, you know, what he does is he sees the hitter's reaction. He watches the hitter for me is what Millsy does. And I learned that early on with him, is he's not going to watch me too much. He's going to watch more of what the hitter's doing against my stuff. And that's where he'll give me feedback. So that's kind of where I learned how to read hitters, was from him. And, it's nice having him down there and being able to see that kind of stuff from there.
Finally, you've blended in very, very well with the veterans in this bullpen. And I know Darren O'Day, I know you look up to him because I've heard you say it. And even though Zach isn't probably much older than you, he's had a lot of experience. Is that a help that you have players who have been through it, that have had a lot of success in the big leagues, that if you have a bad day or if maybe you're thinking about something, you could go to them and they're going to help you?
Yeah, absolutely. We Darren and Brad and I had this conversation the other day. Talking about, how the game's changed from the way veterans treated rookies, 10 years ago. Guys would kind of get, like, chirped at a little bit in the clubhouse if a rookie was sitting on a couch when the veterans came in the clubhouse. And they made the comment, that's not the environment that those guys are trying to create in the bullpen for us. They're trying to create the environment to where we're comfortable. We're not walking on eggshells all the time. And, to me, it was like, that's true, because last year I never felt like I was, stepping out of place. Granted, I'm not going to go around, talking loud around a bunch of people and all that kind of stuff. That's not who I am. But they never made me feel like I had to, watch what I was doing or look over my shoulder when I was doing things. So that made it a whole lot easier. And then, on top of that, being able to build those relationships with those guys is key, because as a group, we spend 9 innings together down there almost, unless you go in the game. But you spend so much time with the same six guys. And so them being able to trust you and you being able to trust them for advice is huge. And that's what those guys want to create down there. And we had that conversation yesterday, and it was kind of like, we never had that talk before. And then they, we were talking about it yesterday, and it was kind of that aha moment of, that really makes sense. And, I can't imagine what it would have been like if it was the other way around. So, it's awesome having those guys down there. I've been talking a lot to Zach this year because his locker's right next to mine. And, it's funny. He sees things. He sees things like I do, and then he throws completely different from me. But we throw with the same hand. So, it's always fun picking brains, and especially the guys we have. We got 4 all-star caliber pitchers in our bullpen. I don't give you, he hasn't pitched in one yet, but he will soon. So, it's fun. It's a unique experience that you probably won't ever get again if you play in pro ball the rest of your life.
Now that's Donnie Hart, and a very mature-sounding Donnie Hart. And, look back to last year, and because of all the other higher-profile relievers, you may forget he allowed one run. That's it. He allowed a solo home run to Hanley Ramirez late in September, and in 18 and a third innings, that's the only run he allowed.
And the breaking news is he throws with the same hand as Zach Britton. I just learned that. But really, he sounds like such a mature young man. It's like, and he came up from AA.
Right.
So he made that jump, which if I'm a Bowie pitcher, I'm thinking, if I'm pitching well, they're going to notice. I have a chance to come up. It's no longer that you got to climb the ladder and go to the AAA level. What I'm curious about with Donnie Hart is he going to be, and this would be fine if he ends up being a lefty specialist, but is that what he's going to be, or is he a guy who, and he thinks so, who can also get right-handers out, defend himself against both, and be more of a, full-inning type guy, not necessarily, okay, Bryce Harper's on deck, let's get Donnie Hart ready or whatever. And he doesn't, you know, he'll take whatever role to be in the majors, but he does really does not want to be looked at as he's just a specialist. He feels like, look, I can get them both out. I just have to go out and prove that.
And I think that's why here in those side sessions, not in the game, because right. as he said, he still feels like he has to make the team. He's working on the changeup and the breaking ball to have weapons to get out the opposite
right.
side.
And good for him for realizing results are going to matter. Like, he would have to pitch himself off this team.
Right.
He would have to be a total disaster. But he's not doing the Matt Riley thing where it's like, hey, I was just working on stuff. And it's like, Matt, you have a 45 ERA. You're not making this team. You can't just work on things. Donnie knows he's got to have some results as well.
All right, Hot Stove Baseball from Sarasota. Jim and Rock will take a break. Still to come, a sit down with Trey Mancini. Hot Stove Baseball on 105.7 The Fan.
Play ball!
Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan. And the Baltimore Orioles present the Hot Stove Show. Now, live from Orioles Spring Training in Florida, here's Jim Hunter on the flagship station of the Baltimore Orioles, 105.7 The Fan.
And we invite you to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Oriole Park at Camden Yards, the ballpark that forever changed baseball with a 13-game partial season plan. You can pick from four plan options that provide you with the same great seats to about two games per month for as low as $15 per game. It amounts to huge savings over the cost of single-game tickets. Now, each plan option includes an AL East showdown versus the Yankees or the Red Sox. Plus, it gives you access to the hottest ticket in Birdland, Orioles opening day. So secure your spot now and save by visiting orioles.com/season or call 888-848-BIRD. Jim and Rock in Sarasota on Hot Stove Baseball. The Orioles have their first of two spring training days off today, so no new news to report. But there's still a lot of jobs that are being fought for, including, well, Trey Mancini, who impressed so much in September last year that he was on the playoff roster, will he break camp with the team? Now, yesterday I sat down with Trey and asked him, since he, although it's minimal, has big league experience now, how's he approaching this camp compared to, say, 2016 and before?
Yeah, I feel more comfortable coming in after being in the majors last year. Last year I came in, you know, not knowing what to expect exactly, being a non-roster invitee who had been to AA. So it's a little overwhelming at first, but the guys are great at making you feel comfortable. And it was a really good experience last year. And then being able to come up at the end of last season was very great experience and gave me confidence coming into this year, being in a situation where you're in a playoff race and experiencing a playoff game too was an incredible experience, something I didn't expect at the time, but was it was a dream come true. And then it helps coming into this spring with confidence and kind of relaxing too a little bit.
The confidence is a major part of this game because it is so difficult to play well and consistently well. When you hear Dan Duquette in the offseason talk about how you're such a big part of the future of this team and the immediate future, I got to believe that really does help settle your mind.
It does. It helps a lot. And I had felt good about my minor league career up to this point. And a lot of that's majorly a testament to all the instruction I've gotten in the minor league and major leagues from all the staff here. It's been incredible. So, you know, to be able to develop as a player from being drafted in 2013 to now and seeing how far I've come and hearing that is really cool.
Now, as you approach the spring, it's all about taking advantage of when you're in the games, and you've been getting quite a bit of playing time, usually later on in the games. Can you afford to allow yourself simply to go about getting your work in, or do you feel like every time you're on that field, you have to prove to the front office and to the management and to Buck that, you know what, I should go north with this team?
Yeah, I don't know if I want to – my intent isn't to prove anything to anybody, but – you go out, you want to do well, but you also have to step back and relax a little bit. I mean, most people play at their best, and I definitely do when I'm, you know, relaxing, not thinking too much, just thinking about the process of doing things. When I'm up to the plate, all I think about is getting ready early and loading back really slow when the pitcher's in his windup because it helps me see the ball better. And stuff like that's really what I've been focusing on. And just really worrying about the process of things rather than the results or, you know, how anybody might think of me. So I've just been trying to focus on that every day. And by the end of camp, I'm hoping that that will turn out well for me.
All right. So as a result of that approach, I believe that you are not doing roster math as most of us are as we watch these games and try to figure out, all right, wait a minute, how many outfielders are gone, and where does this guy fit in? And wait, he bats right-handed. That's a benefit. You're not doing that.
No, not at all. I can truly say that I'm not. You just have to worry about what you're yourself and what you're doing and trying to help your team win. Because if you start thinking about things you can't control and maybe what other people are doing, it's not going to turn out well.
You know, the other thing, too, is even if you do begin the year in AAA, it's not as if it really is a demotion for you. To me, it would be just simply roster math where there wasn't a spot at that moment, but you're only a phone call away, and they've already called you up, so you know it probably will happen.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, whatever happens, I will go to whatever team I'm sent to and break camp with and do my best to try to keep doing what I've been doing for the past few years, and hopefully that whether it's out of camp in April or whenever they would decide to call me up, I know I'll be ready to contribute to this team.
The thing I like when I watch you play in these games down here is you're doing exactly what a prospect is supposed to do. You're going out and producing. You're swinging the bat well. You're getting some big hits. And if anything, that's got to put the thought in their mind, maybe he is ready. Let's redo that roster math.
Yeah, definitely. I've been a lot more confident this year, I'd say. And especially after, I think it was the second game, maybe in Pirate City, I had a tough game. And I took a step back and rethought about how I approach things. Or, you know, I was kind of mad at myself for that day, and then I said, I can't do this. I've got to just go out there, have a good approach, and just be happy with the swings I take, even if they don't have the results. It's more about how you feel at the plate and how you feel about what you're doing. And ever since then, I've been really focused on that, and it's been producing good results.
The fact that there is so much depth in this camp is a good thing, and the fact that it's already a contending team is a good thing. I got to believe that that gives you even more motivation to try to break camp, to go north with this team, because you know once opening day comes, this is a contending team that has a chance to go back to the postseason.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you look around the locker room at the players we have and being around there last year too and experiencing the energy and, you know, how the clubhouse is around the playoff time and in a playoff race. It's really fun and it's contagious and it's addicting. You want that every year. You want to be able to go to the postseason and make a run at the World Series. So even experiencing that for 2.5 weeks last year, I already want to get back to that. It's something you can't really describe.
So you're a veteran already.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say that. But I was lucky enough to experience that in my first taste of the major leagues, which not many people get to do. I consider myself very fortunate that was a situation that I got brought up in because it, you know, makes you hungry all the time.
All right, finally, in spring training, you never know what's going to happen. And I'm told there was a unique story that happened to you in Bradenton where you were introduced and you had a flashback to, wait a minute, I know that voice.
Yeah, so I heard the PA announcer for the Pirates in Bradenton, and he sounded exactly like our PA announcer at the Notre Dame games, and I've been to a million Notre Dame football games now, so I know that voice. But I was thinking to myself, there's no way it can be the same guy. I'm in Bradenton, like, he's in South Bend all the time. That doesn't make any sense. And then Kristen, the PR director, texted me and said that the Notre Dame PA announcer comes down here in the spring and announces the Pirate games, and he wants to meet you. And it was like a dream. I was like starstruck whenever she texted me that, because he's like a legend up there. Honestly, he tells a joke. He tells like a really corny joke after the third quarter, and everybody loves it every football game. So I'm actually really, really looking forward to meeting him. I think we go back there next week maybe, so I'm pretty pumped about that.
So you're a star in South Bend because even the legendary PA announcer wants a picture with you.
Yeah, I know. I was very humbled by that because he's the one that I want a picture with. So I'm really looking forward to meeting him.
So Trey Mancini, who is having a good spring, quietly having a good spring, batting .333, does not yet have a home run. But, Rock, he is tied with Craig Gentry and Adam Jones, 4 RBIs, most on the team. And he's doing exactly what he should be doing. He's relaxing. He's going out and performing. He's getting ready for a season. He hopes it's in Baltimore, but if not, you go back to AAA and you wait for the phone call.
Yeah, he's going to force them into a tough decision, which is what he wants to do, and that's what Buck wants. He wants him to have a really good spring and make it tough on him. But again, now, opening day, there could be the extra position players we've talked about. They may only go with 11 pitchers. Buck indicated that again the other day because of the three off days. So Trey or somebody else could break camp with a team and a few weeks later be sent down when they go back to 12 pitchers. But otherwise, I just right now, on this date and time, I don't see a spot for him because if you have your four-man bench, you're going to have Flaherty as your super utility guy, and you're going to have your backup catcher, probably Caleb Joseph, and they need outfielders, right-handed hitting outfielders, plus defenders, speed guys to platoon with Kim and with Smith on the corners. And it looks like that's Rickard. And Gentry especially has made a tremendous impression. And Buck said he told me the other day, you know, hey, relax. You're going to be here till the end of the month. Like, you know, you don't have to, you're not going anywhere, which tells me they're giving him a long, long look. And they really like him and what he can offer. And I just don't know where Trey fits in there. The only way I thought it would have worked before is if they had decided to go ahead against left-handers and let Mark Trumbo play right field, and then you could have Trey be a DH against lefties. But if they're looking more at someone like Gentry to platoon with Seth Smith, and somebody has to, Smith's a 202 hitter against lefties, if they're looking at that, then Trumbo's your primary DH. Just about all of his at-bats will be there, and I just don't see where Mancini has a spot. And it's a shame on one hand, but again, it's great for the organization. If you have a guy like that that you could put in AAA and hope that he's beating down the door, that's how it used to be back in the day. And I always show my age by saying, you know, I remember early 70s, Bobby Grich and Don Baylor had to go back to Rochester back then with the affiliate AAA because there was no spot for him. They finally traded Davey Johnson, and then Grich was in the majors. You want those guys who mm-hmm. don't really need to be in AAA anymore, but there's no spot for them. Good for the Orioles if they've reached that point that they can do that. Mancini may have to go ahead and be that guy that has to start out there. We assume he has a great attitude. He's not going to pout. He'll put up big numbers. Just like, remember, he had to start out at Bowie again last year. There's no spot. He could have pouted there. He shouldn't have gone back to Bowie. So what did he do instead? He raked, and they're like, okay, we got to move him up. He would do the same thing if they have to put him in AAA. And at some point, you're going to have to find a spot for him. And again, good for the Orioles that they've got that kind of, quote, problem right now with Mancini.
All right, here we are on March the 9th. There's still, what, 3 weeks left in camp of games. The final game here will be March 30th.
It's flying by, Jim.
Flying by. Well, you've been here since February 11th, so I don't think it's flying by for you. All right, here's what I see as locks right now. The infield, Davis, Scope, Hardy, and Manny. And we assume Ryan Flaherty's the utility man until he's not. Now, Robert Andino has been playing all three, mm-hmm. and he does bat right-handed. And that's one of the things about last year. The Orioles really struggled about left-handed pitching. But Flaherty is out of options, and they probably would lose him if they tried to get him through. So Flaherty, I think, right now is the utility man until some scenario changes that. But right now he's that player. Castillo and Joseph, the catchers. Jones, Smith, Kim, and Trumbo as an outfielder because you have to list them somewhere.
Right.
So that's 11. If it's 13 position players, as you just described, one less pitcher on opening day, so that opens a spot. Here's the question. Do the Orioles go with the two right-handed hitting defensive outfield specialists in Craig Gentry and Joey Rickard? Because then one can play left field, one can play right field, when there's a left-handed starter. And let's not forget Boston. The Orioles see Boston early, and they have all those left-handed pitchers in their rotation.
Possibly four.
Yeah, possibly four. So do the Orioles go that way with Gentry and with Rickard? Plus, with Gentry and Rickard, you have two players who both can play center field just in case you have somebody to back up Adam Jones. Or do the Orioles take the other scenario that you just described? Do they play Trumbo in right field on days that there's a left-handed starter, have Mancini stay on the club as the DH and pick one of the outfielders, either Gentry or Joey Rickard? Now, Joey Rickard can be sent down if they want him to play every day. Last year he had to stay as a Rule 5. But Craig Gentry is playing his way. Well, he's certainly in the discussion already, but he's playing his way on the team. He made a great catch yesterday after he misjudged the ball.
Right.
and then he has a base hit to get a rally going in the first, and then a three-run home run, and all of a sudden the Orioles are up 5-0. He's a veteran, and you know the other thing about him, Rock? He understands what it is to be a backup because he's been a backup his entire career.
Right, and the fact, you know, I always say is if you get on Buck's radar, it's a good place to be, and Buck has been talking him up since the day they signed him. Scott Coolbaugh worked out with him and said, recommended him. Said, a couple years ago, last year, I would not have recommended him. Right now, I do. He's back. He's healthy. He had some injuries. He had the concussion syndrome. He's back. And let's take a look at this guy. So he's already been on Buck's radar, and he hasn't done anything to take himself off it. So I really think, and again, Rickard has options, so you could send him down now. But I just think they're going to go with both of them. Now, when we say defensive specialist, and I know sabermetrics people are going to say, Joey Rickard graded poorly last year, which he did, and I think part of that, the Orioles thing, is he's getting used to major league ballparks.
Right.
Again,
yeah,
totally different.
Yeah, the third deck. And...
Exactly. We saw him take some bad routes to the ball, but I also saw him make some plays where other guys weren't going to make that. But I think he's better than what the metrics showed. Now he's going to have to go out there and really prove it. The Orioles still see him as a plus guy. They certainly see him as an upgrade over, even though I think Kim's better than we thought he was going to be in left, but he's still an upgrade there. He's an upgrade in right over Smith or Trumbo, and that's what you're looking for. But he has some work to do there. Gentry, they definitely look like at him as a plus guy. Running, fielding, arm, he would really, at this point, have to play his way off the team. We're not even talking about two Rule 5 guys.
Right.
Tavares and Santander, I don't see how either one of them right now has a spot, and Tavares is a left-handed hitter, which they don't need, but they want to keep both of them in the organization. They may have to get creative there.
Make a trade.
Right, where you have to first pass them through waivers. And if you wait really late in camp, you have a better shot at doing that. Teams are already setting the rosters. They may not have a luxury of saying, hey, let's take a Rule 5 guy on March 30th. You try and pass him through late, and then, yes, you're going to have to work out a trade with the Red Sox and Indians. And don't be surprised if they try and do that, because those guys they would love to have in their system. I just don't see a spot for him on a 25-man roster.
You know, and the other thing about Gentry and Rickard, for that matter, even though Buck Showalter doesn't run a lot on the bases, he doesn't like to sacrifice possible outs for the reward of stealing a base. But if you need somebody with speed late in a game where you may be down by a run, Gentry's had a couple of 20 stolen base seasons.
Right.
And Joey Rickard only had 4 last year, but he led the team.
Right.
He led the team with the 4. So you have somebody coming off the bench who has speed late in the game, maybe late defense. There's another vote for those two. Right. Unfortunately, in that scenario, Trey Mancini always ends up the odd man out, unless, at least for the first few weeks, what is it, around the 15th, they need the fifth starter
right,
for the first
yes.
time. So that would give Trey, if he is that other person, if there's one fewer pitcher, a chance. And it would really be nice for him, after how he burst on the scene last year, since the Orioles do open up at home, to run down the orange carpet at Camden Yards on opening day.
It would
day.
Be. That's why I think he would still have a good chance of coming north with the team, because they have room for him on, again, the extra bench player. But eventually I think he would have to be sent down. You know, Tavares has tremendous speed. I was walking to go to interview, I guess it was a starting pitcher, how it is in spring training, in the middle of the game, you get called down. He's now available outside the clubhouse. And Tavares struck out, the ball got by the catcher, and I'm watching him, and he was thrown up by about half a step at first. He was motoring, and it's like, again, this is a guy who's got skills that they would love to have in this organization. He is a plus runner, defensively a little bit still raw. And, you know, if you're going to make the club, you better be able to play defense right now. That's what they're looking for. But they would love to be able to hold on to him. Mancini, I mean, I'm sure there are teams that might approach the Orioles and say, hey, he's blocked at first base. You re-sign Trumbo.
They won't trade
him. Make an offer. And unless somebody overwhelms him, which you probably don't overwhelm for Trey Mancini, you're right. You put him at first base in AAA with Chris Johnson at third, Paul Janers at short, Johnny Giafatella at second, and you got Andino can play anywhere, and that's a solid. And then you have David Washington, who is a big power-hitting first baseman slash outfielder.
Chris Dickerson, Logan Schaefer.
I mean, that's a really good AAA team there.
Jim and Rock, we're in Sarasota, Hot Stove Baseball, on this Thursday night. We'll take a break and come back. One more segment from the palatial Tim Jones Spring Training Estate on 105.7 The Fan.
Play ball!
This is the Hot Stove Show on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan. Now, live from Orioles Spring Training in Florida, here's Jim Hunter on the flagship station of the Baltimore Orioles, 105.7 The Fan.
And a reminder that single game tickets for the upcoming season are now on sale, so don't miss your chance to lock in the best seats to the top games of 2017, including divisional rivalries, fun weekend series, and a host of promotional events, including an Orioles Maryland flag replica jersey. Rock and I have seen that, and it's really sweet,
yes.
The replica jersey with the Maryland flag. The Manny Machado starting lineup figure, the Zach Britton or Jonathan Scope bobblehead, and there's a 25th anniversary of Oriole Park replica ballpark on the schedule. Now, plan your Birdland summer now, Orioles.com or 888-848-BIRD, and peruse the schedule. If you want to go on the holiday, the Yankees are in town Memorial Day, the Yankees are in town Labor Day, buy your tickets now, then you get the seats, you put them in the drawer, and you're all set to go. The single game tickets, really, it's a big benefit because you can plan out and know you're going to go to those games.
Right. Also, I believe the Nats come to Camden Yards, and they have a new catcher. I don't know if you've heard of him, Matt Wieters. It might be interesting to go
to that
game.
What's his name? A little switch hitting catcher?
Yeah, I might want to give him some guy, a nice
giving
welcome
a shot.
Home.
Now, yesterday, the camp was a buzz.
Yes.
A buzz. And we had video on our telecast on Masson. That's how important this was because Chris Tillman and Zach Britton both threw full bullpen sessions, and then Buck Showalter reported that everything came out okay.
Right.
Now, what's your reports on how they're coming along and how the Orioles are bringing them along? When these injuries were revealed, we were told, hey, this is going to be slow.
Right.
This is slow.
Yeah, and you know, Buck said they're both on schedule. Because we keep pressing, you know, what's next for Tillman? Is there going to be a simulate games? Like, whatever I told you guys at the beginning of camp, that's the schedule we're on. There haven't been any setbacks. With Britton, you know, obviously they're dealing with different things. Britton, they think, could get in a game, you know, by this weekend, I would think, because he, you know, he threw Wednesday, full mound, got the off day. So maybe by this weekend he actually gets in a game. Tillman, obviously, it's going to be a little bit slower because he's dealing with the shoulder. But, you know, at first, you always learn to kind of – you never underplay an injury. So, of course, we overreacted to it, understandably, and with J.J. Hardy. Like, you know, is the sky falling here? These are three key guys. But it appears that, you know, everybody is getting along, moving along the way they should, the way the team had hoped. So you don't want to jinx them, and Buck is really worried about doing that. But the news is really good. So, again, I would be curious whether we maybe actually see Britton throw this weekend. And, you know, talking to those guys, it was a while back that Tillman told me, I feel like I could get hitters out right now, but they're not going to let him do that.
No.
Britton, you know, he's like, you know, we just decided in regular season I would have been pitching, but it's not the regular season. And in anything that sounds like it could be oblique, you overreact to that because that's a serious injury. You don't want to have an oblique strain. So as soon as he said, I have a little discomfort on my side, they were like, that's it, and they shut him down, which they should have done. And the news again with J.J. Hardy, too, is good with his back, and he's ready to go. But Richie Bencells is calling the shots.
Oh, absolutely.
And J.J.'s like, I got to get out of this trainer's room.
Well, it's interesting you mention that because in the video we had on our Masson telecast yesterday of Tillman and Britton, Brian Ebel, Richie's assistant, was standing right next to Tillman, staring at him as he got loose. Even getting loose, they're monitoring everything they do because they're so valuable to the team.
They are.
And Brian and Richie are the best at this.
They are. And, you know, with Tillman, again, you don't need a fifth starter till the 15th. And I think the way they looked at it now, that even if he has to go on the DL, which we think he will, it can be backdated to the 30th. It's a 10-day DL now. He would be ready to come back on April 9th. So, you know, it's like crisis averted. It wouldn't be the worst thing other than interrupting his streak of opening day starts, which is unfortunate. But he's still got time to make 30-plus starts. And, again, there's no reason to rush him. And I'm sure, you know, he's a competitor, and it's his contract year. Maybe that's not going to enter his mind right now.
I don't think with him.
But it's still a big year for him, every year. But, I mean, especially this one. And you don't want to have anything go wrong. So he's got to make himself be patient. He thinks he could be pitching right now, but he understands why they're doing it the way they're doing it.
Well, he's got to build up his arm in terms of innings down here. So even if he does have to stay, if he goes on the DL, he stays down here in the good weather. Dave Walker takes over for Richie and Brian, and Scotty McGregor takes over for Roger McDowell, and everything is in place. Plus, oh, by the way, Chris Tillman lives here.
Right.
So he could stay at his house, and I think caution is the best way to go because this is a marathon. It's not a sprint, and they need this guy if they're going to contend. Okay, one final note here. Tim just passed me. The Dominican Republic team is playing its first WBC game right now against Team Canada. Tomorrow, the American team with Adam Jones and Michael Givens will play its first game against Colombia. These games being played in Miami. Manny Machado's already robbed the Canadian hitter of a base hit with a diving, lunging stop at third base. Wellington Castillo, the Orioles catcher, just hit a two-run home run, and he went opposite field. So the Dominican team is leading Canada 3-0. So the Orioles already contributing to the Dominican team's early success.
Right. And when they had the exhibition, the Dominican team played, obviously they played the Orioles in Sarasota, and then they went to Bradenton the next day to play the Pirates. And Manny, if anybody's ever been to Bradenton, he had a home run on the roof of the Tiki Bar in center field, which is a ridiculous shot. I don't care what the wind was doing. I don't even know. That was quite a shot. So as much as Buck would rather have these guys in camp, they came in great shape. And you mentioned that with Manny, too. He's like, you know, you saw him show up. He goes, I told Tony Pena, you got a guy who's ready to play right now. They were that excited to be doing this. So you kind of try and look at it positively. Okay, they're not in camp, but they're in competitive games. They're in great shape. They're facing quality pitching. and you hope that then when they get back, that puts them ahead of maybe where they normally would be.
All right, I got about 30 seconds, but that was fun the other day when the Dominican team was in Sarasota, and we were all talking to Tony Pena, and we teased him about batting Nelson Cruz, a former home run champion, sixth in the Dominican lineup, and he said, do you see who I have?
Right. Well, fortunately, there are not a lot of egos. He said, "There, look, Tony, we'll bat wherever. We're just here to have fun, and we want to win a championship again." So it made it easier for him.
All right, what are you going to do on the rest of your day off?
I might go take a nap. I think I'm going to do that. They're going to wake up and go to bed.
Yeah, that's a good plan. All right. Well, Rock, pleasure as always. Now, the schedule coming up, O's are on Masson on Saturday, and then Joe and I are back with you on the radio on Monday, and that's as far as I can remember. I think there's another game Wednesday next week on the radio, so Tim confirms that. So Saturday TV, Monday and Wednesday next week on the radio on the Orioles Radio Network. So we'll continue to bring it to you from Sarasota.
Fantastic.
I've enjoyed the Tim Jones Palatial Estate, our remote studio here for Hot Stove Baseball. Stay tuned now, 105.7 The Fan. Sports with Coleman is next. For Rock, I'm Jim. We'll see you next Thursday, another edition of Hot Stove Baseball on 105.7 The Fan.